This edition of the Generations Radio program originally aired in 2015. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, Worldview Academy guy in studio with me right now. And today we're going to talk about Christian colleges because colleges tend to be the vanguard of what will happen in the next generation. So you want to know how much apostasy is going to happen in the year 2040, 2050. Just check out what's happening at Wheaton College. Check out what's happening at Calvin College. And you'll get a pretty good sense for how much apostasy, the percentage of apostasy we're going to see by the year 2040 or 2050. And here's an article directly from Calvin College. And the reason why, you know, we want to address Calvin College is because, well, I think the CRC represents a significant portion of evangelicalism in America that is moving more and more towards Christian apostasy. It's an example. It's a micro of the macro. They endorsed feminism back in the 1970s, and organizations or denominations like the Orthodox Presbyterian Church took a hard right away from Christian Reformed churches and denied fraternal relations back in the 80s, I believe it was, because of their feminist position. And then, of course, they endorsed evolution as well, and now on the way to endorse homosexuality. The connection between feminism, evolution, and homosexuality is almost indissoluble. It's impossible to separate the commitment of those who apostatize to the three touch points, the three sacred groves, the three sacred cows of modern secularism, which happen to be feminism, evolution, and homosexuality. Those are the three sacred groves of modern humanism. Would you agree, Bill?
I certainly do. Yeah, they're so intertwined in their thinking, and they play out in the culture.
And if you're going to do a Pareto chart on the hate mail we get, a Pareto chart is just simply a bar graph on an organized bar graph.
You're using big words today.
Oh yeah, a little more intelligent.
Yeah.
Approach to the generations.
Because I was going
today.
Pareto. Well, it's Plato. I know what Plato is.
Pareto charts, P-A-R-E-T-O.
Oh.
The Pareto chart is the prioritization using a bar chart of the hate mail coming into the Generations broadcast. I would say homosexuality is number one, feminism is number two, evolution is number three. Occasionally, feminism and evolution sort of tie. But these are the points at which the humanists become most emotional. Why? Because they deal with their fundamental beliefs. If you deny egalitarianism, feminism, if you deny evolution, if you deny homosexuality, you deny autonomy, you deny a basic humanist materialistic metaphysic. And that's something the humanists just simply cannot live with. Why? Because they are fundamental. They are the very foundational touchstones. They're the
Trinity.
They're the Trinity of the humanist perspective of things. All right, now, here's the Calvin College article that endorses homosexuality about the first gay couple married in Kent County share their testimony of faith, love, and time at Calvin. Stop right here and just say, okay, here's a homosexual couple married in Kent County sharing a testimony of faith at Calvin. Calvin? Who's Calvin? Who's Calvin? Do you remember who Calvin was?
Yeah, there was a comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes.
No. This was John Calvin.
Well, oh.
This is John Calvin. Does anybody know what John Calvin and Martin Luther and others said about homosexuality? They saw it as so despicable that they didn't even want to write on it because it would defile the minds of those that would read their commentaries on the homosexual act. Okay, you can get more of this and keep the faith on sexuality, a little hardback book we produced in order to maintain it for generations over the next 3 to 4 generations, because we are covering thousands of years of Christian writings on the issue of homosexuality, so that there will be no mistake, absolutely zero mistake, with any real Christian left in the Western world concerning the issue of homosexuality. Be sure you have a copy of this. Be sure every one of your elders, every one of your pastors, every one of your friends, and every one of your friends who attend college certainly have a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality. But
Nevertheless, here's so, Calvin College.
So they wouldn't even write about it because it was so disgusting and despicable.
That's exactly right.
Because the scripture was so clear on it, they didn't need to make commentary on it.
That's right.
By contrast,
yeah,
you've got Calvin College.
Yeah. What an incredible contrast.
Yes. Just yeah.
Unbelievable, Bill. I just...
I'm looking on their website, okay? And it says the LGBT Students and Homosexuality FAQ, okay?
Yeah.
Calvin College seeks to be a community where lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons are treated with respect, justice, grace, and understanding in the spirit of Christ. We recognize the complexity of current issues around homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and gender identity. The college desires to engage these conversations with courage, humility, prayerfulness, and convicted civility. In other words, we got to talk about this. Well, John Calvin, Martin Luther said, you don't need to talk about it.
Let's not talk about it. Talk about it because obviously a sin needs to be repented of, and let's not spend time with this. If you go on to the policy statement that Calvin College has issued concerning this issue, and this comes from the very article that I'm speaking of here from the Calvin College newspaper. Calvin College reaffirmed its commitment to Christian orthodoxy and thus to its policy against sex outside of traditional marriage for students and faculty. At the same time, it found that it could improve its spiritual support to students who identified as LGBTQ. In other words, it held firm on its faith while being open to internal critique on the way in which it put its faith into practice. Now, that, of course, is a squishy sort of a statement, but let me ask you this.
What does that say?
Yeah. What is spiritual support for LGBTQ students? That's what they want. They want to improve its spiritual support. Would that include a call to repentance? Would it be an encouragement not to identify as LGBTQ? Would I have to identify as licentious, greedy, bitter, thieving, and quarrelsome, LGBTQ? I assume that's what it stands for. Is that what it stands for?
Oh, I misunderstood.
Licentious, greedy, bitter, thieving, and quarrelsome. If I had issues with that, and by the way, I do have some issues with these things.
Yeah.
Why do I have to identify that way as a Christian? Why would I have to identify, if I have a tendency to these sins, why do I have to label myself that way unless I am completely bound in them? I have no freedom in Christ. I have not been set free from these sins that bind me down. Why would I have to identify as LGBTQ? If you were to provide spiritual support for people who identify themselves as LGBTQ, perhaps the first thing to do would be to not identify them as LGBTQ and not support them in their LGBTQ identification. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not what they do.
No.
In fact,
no.
Here's in the FAQs, here's what they say. Quote, we believe that homosexual orientation is not a sin. And we strive to love our gay, lesbian, and bisexual students as ourselves, as God expects us of us. Wait. There's two things going on here. We don't believe homosexual orientation is a sin. Okay, everybody has a proclivity to a particular sin. We all have our favorite pet sins,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we participate in them. It means we're tempted by them, okay? So there may be an orientation toward a certain sin.
Sure.
But then the second part of that sentence says, we strive to love our gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. And wait. What defines one as that? There's only one thing that defines homosexuality or bisexuality or lesbianism, and that is the act itself. It's not a feeling. It's not an orientation that defines you as that. I got news for you. I'm going to celebrate my 43rd anniversary next year. And I got news for you. Okay. There have been moments where I have had feelings of lust.
Yeah.
Can my wife take me into a court of law and say, I'm going to accuse this man of adultery?
Those are still sinful thoughts.
There's a sinful thought.
Right.
But legally, I am not guilty of adultery.
No, you're not.
Okay?
No, you're not.
So I may have thoughts. I may have, moments of sin, but that does not make me an adulterer before the law. Okay? And likewise, because I have feelings of homosexuality doesn't make me a homosexual. There's only one thing that makes a person homosexual. It is the act itself. So what they're saying is You may have an orientation. Okay, I can agree with that. You may have a proclivity to a certain sin. But then they turn around in the next part of the sentence and say, we're going to support you as a homosexual, bisexual, and lesbian. That's only defined by the act.
It's a faithlessness, Bill, because because if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed.
Yeah.
That's John 8. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. And to capitulate and say, we're going to label these people, and we're going to label ourselves, and we're going to say we have this orientation, there's nothing we can do about this orientation, is a faithlessness concerning the ability of the blood of Jesus Christ to set us free. If the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. And yes, the homosexual sin itself identifies somebody as a homosexual, but also the inclination itself, the desire, is still a sin, as we said. And I think we have to, as pastors, continually point that out to people, that the internal desire, the internal inclination towards something that God says, no, you can't have one of those, is a sinful inclination / desire / thought.
And that's why we're molded into the image of Christ. That's mm-hmm. why we study God's word. We immerse ourselves. We think God's thoughts after him so that we do not debase his creation. We do not debase ourselves. I got news for you. In 43 years, my wife's had feelings of murder. I'm sure, probably just last week. But she's not a murderer.
No.
Okay? I'm still here.
And she still has to deal with her internal inclinations and desires and such. And, you know, they take a young 27-year-old young man who looks at women and he has a desire for a woman that doesn't belong to him.
Yeah.
That's pretty common. If that young man says, I've always got this inclination, always got this desire, there's absolutely no way I'll ever, ever, ever be able to overcome it. Every time I look at a woman, I desire.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. You know, we would say no.
There's something wrong with it.
And if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Yeah. You can be free from the old man and from the control that sin has on your life.
Yes.
You can be free. It is possible you can be free. Now, that, of course, is what the pastor says. That's what the teacher says, who's full of faith and understands the potential of what the cross of Jesus Christ can really accomplish for us. And that's the point that needs to be driven home, that there's a faithlessness about people who just capitulate to the LGBTQ.
You know what it is? They're crucifying Christ again.
Yeah.
They really are. Calvin College should repent of this squishiness, because they're crucifying Christ again. And that is wrong.
The last thing in the world we want to do is leave people with the label of LGBTQ, licentious, greedy, bitter, thieving, and quarrelsome. The last thing we want to do is say, yeah, I guess you're just going to have to be that way for the rest of your life, and we're going to put a label on you.
What hopelessness is there in that?
It's horrific.
That is not the hope that Christ offers.
Well, friends, we're going to talk more about what's happening with Christian colleges. There are 8 Christian colleges now that are allowing fornicating clubs on their campuses. I'm sorry, LGBTQ clubs on their campuses. Be back in just a moment. This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 Minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations Radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get The Worldview in 5 Minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give. give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Bill Jack also. Speaking of Calvin College and the trajectory taken by Christian colleges towards increased apostasy, a point I make in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Typically, apostasy begins in the liberal arts universities and liberal arts universities. Liberal arts classes, liberal arts courses are ultimately where apostasy begins. And that's why, of course, my new book called Worldviews in Conflict, a 700-page textbook for a senior high school level or college level literature class, what we hope to be the first reforming effort in the area of liberal arts, as far as we know, in the recent history of this country. I encourage you to catch this book, to get a copy of this book, use it for your homeschool, your Christian school, your Christian colleges. It's called Worldviews in Conflict. And yes, we put a very sharp edge on the conflict that ought to happen in the literature classroom. We need to engage this, engage it hard, if we're going to salvage anything out of liberal arts over the next generation or two or three. Well, Bill, here's the story again from Calvin College about the homosexuals. Zach and Colby met while living in Van Recken, and then they went on to the same trip abroad to China. They said that being off campus allowed them to get to know one another better and be together. On and on, Colby recounted the moment when he was sitting in the KHVR prayer room, evidently at Calvin College, asking God to show him what he should do, and said he felt the Holy Spirit come upon him. It was a feeling I can't explain. I can't explain the intense peace, reassurance, and it was only the Holy Spirit that I felt it. It was just intoxicating and fulfilling, and I knew that I was not in the wrong. I was just simply trying to show who I am. Now, there's something kind of scary about all this because it brings back this weird little subjective thing about this Holy Spirit that just guides people apart from the Word of God. And the separation of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God happens everywhere in modern evangelicalism, and that's why the weebie-jeebies are going up and down my back as I read this.
What is different from that statement and the statement by the Mormons, a pseudo-Christian cult that is recognized as a pseudo-Christian cult by Christians, that I feel a burning in my bosom?
Not much. Not much. Especially when you see the abrogation of truth.
And that's why Jesus said,
the separation of truth and the spirit.
Yeah. Jesus said to the woman at the well, we worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have God's word that tells us what truth is, and it comes to life in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can check to see if what the Spirit, as this man said, is telling us is true by checking out against God's word. We have a check and balance system.
Exactly. Otherwise, it could be any kind of a spirit, a demonic spirit.
That's
There's
right.
so many spirits. We got to test the spirits all the time. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's be sure we're testing the spirits. This, of course, being the Holy Spirit, when a guy is affirming who he really is. He says, I was just simply trying to show who I am. He says it was isolating at Calvin, almost seemed like a self-punishment. We were punishing ourselves, but trying to be an authentic being. Now, I hope people understand as they're hearing these words, the authentic being, admitting who you are, trying to show who you are, who I am, et cetera, is an Emersonian transcendentalism. And I take this up in my course on Emerson and all these other great writers, quote unquote, in Worldviews and Conflict. But this is Emersonian transcendentalism. I think people need to understand that this is religious language, yes. And everybody should recognize this to be religious language. And whenever a guy talks like this, everybody says, religious language. The problem is, it is religious language, but it's not our religion.
It's not biblical.
It's not biblical religion. Yeah, it's not biblical language. This is a religious cult of sorts. This is a humanist cult. This is a self-defining, self-actualization cult that was very much promoted by Emerson and Thoreau and the other transcendentalists of the early 19th century. So I just wish that people would be able to discern this. I mean, he's talking a very holy way. You know, this is holy language. People recognize it right away to be religious language, but please understand, it's the wrong religion. That's all. Just be assured.
And by using this language, he seeks to get endorsement. He seeks to get weight to what he's saying. as if it is, if I say spiritual, that brings gravitas to what I'm saying, and it doesn't. The only thing that brings gravitas is if this is what God's word says, and therefore I will do what God's word says. That is gravitas.
It brings gravitas to those who believe the same thing and attend the same transcendental church.
Yeah.
So it does bring gravitas to about probably 95% of Americans who are listening to him and attend the First Church of Oprah or fill in the blank.
But Kevin, you know, I just want to let you know that I really feel I must tell you that I feel very authentic when I'm a mass murderer.
Yeah.
And I can't help it. I was born an embezzler. I have to steal.
Well, you're self-defining yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a self-actualization.
Thank you.
It's also a form of existentialism. You define yourself and thereby establish your own reality. All right. Now, here are eight institutions in the United States that are affiliated with the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, by the way. These are CCU organizations. And we're talking about, you know, the organization that organizes and connects all of these Christian universities around the country. And here they are. They're still part of CCCU, as far as we can tell, according to this article here. And here they are, eight universities that have permitted students to run a club specified for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities, as well as their allies. And by the way, there's no word as to whether these colleges have decided to include a fornicator's club, a drunkard's club, or a liar's club, or fill in the blank. Rather, what you get is LGBTQ clubs on Calvin College campus. We just mentioned that. Campbell University, Eastern Mennonite University, Eastern University, Fuller Theological Seminary, Goshen College, North Park University, and Pepperdine University.
Well, you know, they when Obergefell was, you know, made public, these colleges came out and said, we need to endorse this. And the CCCU, they took it up as a topic of discussion, and they said, nope, we're not going to do it. Nope.
Several of these universities.
We're not changing our position.
I think several of these universities have taken a left, and they have left CCCU, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Because CCCU has taken a very strong position.
They have.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be challenged on whether or not these colleges are going to allow for any kind of a support for LGBTQ students who are not willing to repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ.
And there were colleges that said, if the CCCU does cave to this, we're leaving.
It's also interesting that there are a number of colleges that have filed waiver requests after the Obama administration put the schools on notice that Title IX also applies to gender identity. And they did that last year. Remember 2014? Was just last year, the Obama administration says, okay, we have not allowed for any kind of discrimination on male, female, or race, et cetera, for the use of our funds. And we're talking about college funds, Pell Grants, et cetera. And so in 2014, the Obama administration included gender identity as part of that, ergo LGBTQ. Well, so far, 27 waivers have been granted in 17 states, with at least 9 additional waiver requests pending. And I believe one of those pending is CCU, Colorado Christian University. I looked at them this morning. There are 27 waivers that are filed. And according to this article from MTV, which, by the way, is not a supportive article of these Christian colleges, MTV has recorded that 27 waivers have been granted to 17 states. The report states that total enrollment of these schools tops 80,000 students, and nearly $130 million in federal research grants and student aid flowed to these institutions of higher learning in 2014.
They're incensed by that.
That's a whole lot of tax dollars, they say. If colleges and universities feel comfortable receiving federal funding, shouldn't also they be required to follow federal laws banning discrimination? Well, it's hard to believe that these universities are going to be able to continue receiving their hundreds of millions of dollars in grants from the federal government for their students that attend these universities. I can't imagine this going to continue after Obergefell, especially.
Right. And what's going to happen is they're either going to have to cut ties with the federal government, like colleges such as Cedarville, I believe, and Hillsdale. or they're going to end up where Calvin College is. And in their statement, frequently asked questions, they say gender inclusive restrooms are currently available on most campus buildings. They're going to have to go to that extent. Now, there are 26 gender inclusive restrooms available in the campus buildings of Calvin College.
26.
I counted them.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't go to every one of them. I looked on the map. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the extremes you're facing. There is, you know, when this president got elected, you know, it was to draw people together. This has been the most divisive administration in the history of the country because they're pushing people to the extremes, and that is we're going to have to take a stand one way or the other. Christians are going to have to come to the point where we say we stand on God's word, and this is what we can do. We can do no other. We stand on God's word.
This is a point of decision for many Christians. Will you be willing to be persecuted to the point where you might not receive $130 million from the federal government, which, by the way, isn't a high level of persecution? Are you willing to be persecuted for your faith, or are you just going to kowtow, capitulate, and compromise? And this kind of question has been leveled towards Christians, you know, in every generation from the very beginning. Thankfully, there are some universities taking the stand. It's hard to know whether Wheaton's going to go one way or the other. But in 2008, according to the Wheaton Record, 60% of Wheaton faculty voted for Barack Obama, the most pro-infanticide, the most pro-socialist and pro-homosexual candidate ever to run for president of the United States, as far as I know. All right. So, but Liberty University has taken a pretty strong position, and this time on guns. And I'll just leave it here. Jerry Falwell Jr. encouraged students to carry concealed weapons on campus, including the dorms, by the way. He says, go ahead, keep them on yourself for the dorms to reduce the incidence of terrorism. He says, you know, if the Muslims enter, quote, we could end those Muslims before they walked in. He's referring to Muslim terrorists. But of course, the mainline media has taken the term end those Muslims, the three words, and they just keep repeating it again and again. So he's in trouble. The governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, called Falwell's comments rash and repugnant. But his point was that...
It's rash and repugnant that we don't adhere to the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
It's rash and repugnant that we don't adhere to the Constitution.
His point was, if you arm your campus, there's probably not going to be a lot of terrorists willing to risk their lives to take down many students. Of course, some in jihad will. These suicide bombers are more than happy to do so. However, they'll have a little less access.
They're going to go for soft targets, not hard targets.
More than likely.
Yeah.
More than likely. Well, anyway, Jerry Falwell Jr. Taking a stand on this gun issue, and we want to take this up on a future edition of the Generations broadcast. But I do think there's going to be a division here between those that will compromise and those will stand strong on a biblical world and life view in these colleges. And that's one reason why I really encourage folks to engage the battle of ideas in the liberal arts arena. That's why Worldviews in Conflict, our course, and there may be another course out there. I'm just not familiar with any other course out there that will take Nathaniel Hawthorne to task, that will take Mark Twain to task, and really tear apart, rip up what these guys thought about ethics, metaphysics, epistemology, the basic worldview foundations, and even take Shakespeare apart. Take a look at the metaphysic that lies under the play Macbeth. There's way too much compromise going on, way too much compromise going on in the liberal arts arena. That's why most liberal arts graduates graduate liberal in America, and that's why each successive generation will be more liberal, and that's why America is going off the deep end, and we will see each successive church denomination like the CRC and our political institutions and our cultural institutions continue to go downhill because they've been educated in American Christian liberal arts colleges, and that's why we have put together Worldviews in Conflict, just released and available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, September 21st, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In the last 24 hours, the death toll from the 7.1 magnitude earthquake which struck Mexico on Tuesday afternoon has nearly doubled. At least 248 people were killed, including 21 children who were crushed beneath an elementary school that was reduced to rubble, reports NDTV. One of the most gut-wrenching scenes was at the Enrique Repsamen Primary School on Mexico City's south side, whose three floors collapsed into one, trapping students and teachers inside. Hundreds of soldiers, police, civilian volunteers, and rescue dogs are in a frantic search for another 30 to 40 people who remain trapped inside, while 11 children have been rescued so far. Last week, a court in eastern Pakistan sentenced yet another Pakistani Christian to death on false blasphemy charges. 35-year-old Nadeem James was accused by a friend of sending, quote, blasphemous messages, unquote, on the text messaging service WhatsApp, reports International Christian Concern. Pakistan is 97% Muslim and ranked fourth on Open Doors 2017 World Watch List for the worst persecution. Christians have suffered discrimination and death in recent years from these kinds of blasphemy charges. Please pray for Nadeem and the church in Pakistan. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Homeschooling has grown in Russia and countries formerly part of the Soviet Union to an estimated 100,000 families, reports the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Homeschooling parents Alexei and Irina Komov have devoted themselves to spreading the movement. They recently held Russia's largest homeschooling event. Alexei said, quote, "Families from all over Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus came to those groundbreaking events to be trained and inspired to start their homeschooling communities in over 30 cities, from Kiev to Minsk. Everyone felt God's blessing and left fired up and full of enthusiasm," unquote. Australia is in the midst of a non-compulsory, non-binding vote to advise Parliament on whether to become the 25th country to legalize faux homosexual marriage, according to Australia's First Post. The Catholic Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher, urged parents to vote against this perversion of marriage. In a joint letter, Fisher wrote, quote, "Sadly, there has been a campaign to label all those who support traditional marriage as bigots and homophobes so as to silence all opposition," unquote. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is a supporter of these unnatural relations and hopes and expects the people will vote to approve of homosexual faux marriage.
"The Australian people have spoken, assuming they say yes. What we're going to do now is ensure that same-sex couples can marry."
But then, Turnbull also spoke up for the right of the church to presumably only bless the marriages between a man and a woman.
"And that we provide the protections for religious freedom that a nation whose very foundation document, the Constitution, recognizes religious freedom." I mean, religious freedom is a fundamental principle of our Australian democracy.
Turnbull went on to say, quote, "Churches are free to marry whomever they like," unquote. Yet another hurricane stormed over the Caribbean. Category 4 Hurricane Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico early Wednesday morning with winds up to 140 miles per hour, causing widespread devastation and complete loss of power across the island. Plus, 7 people died on the island nation of Dominica. The country's prime minister there, Roosevelt Skerrett, said, quote, "The winds are merciless. We shall survive by the grace of God," unquote.
Oklahoma pastor and former State House of Representative Dan Fisher is running for governor, stating it's time to abolish human abortion. Fisher said that although his state is considered the most pro-life state in the Union, the murder of the unborn continues by the thousands every year. He called into question the widespread practice of regulating this form of murder instead of abolishing it. Fisher put forth a compelling argument in this campaign video.
I am not running to regulate abortion. I am running to abolish it. If elected, I will do everything in my power to bring this evil to an end and take executive action to ensure that all Oklahomans are equally protected, including the preborn. I will disregard any unjust rulings or perversions of the U.S. Constitution that claim there is a right to murder preborn human beings in the womb.
On Wednesday, President Trump praised the Graham-Cassidy bill, the most recent attempt to replace Obamacare by Senate Republicans. They have until September 30th to pass the bill. Bill sponsor Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said the measure would eliminate the individual mandate of Obamacare at the federal level and send the money back to the states. However, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky opposed the measure, saying, "My objection is that it keeps the vast majority of Obamacare spending and then just redistributes it in a different formula," unquote. Well, climate change is not as dangerous to the planet as previously thought based on new research. Scientists at the University of Oxford published their findings in the Nature Geoscience Journal, noting that there is now a 60% chance of keeping temperatures around the globe within 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. While scientists speculate, Psalm 50, verse 1 reminds us, "It is the Mighty One, God the Lord, who speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting." And finally, Fox News reports a New Jersey police officer came to the aid of a woman who lost her diamond engagement ring while changing a flat tire. Kimberly Garcia filed a report with the Paramus Police Department about the lost ring, and the next day, Officer John Henderson went looking for it during his free patrol time, successfully restoring the diamond ring to its owner. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, September 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.